You turn your Bibles to Psalm 77. Have a look at the last verse.
Thank you.
Psalm 77. Somebody said Psalm 177. Rewrite the Bible and add another. Psalm 77. Did you find that? Who's going to read it? Because I haven't got a Bible. Last verse. Led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 78 and verse 72. All right. We're talking on the leadership part of the pillars of our church, those truths that we emphasize as a church. And we are talking on leadership. Trust that it'll help us as we go along. Why is the church leadership led? There are many people, many churches in our city, and many people ask the staff, how is your church governed? And many times, the staff will say, well, we are a leadership-led church. What does that mean? Because are there different ways? Well, a church can be led by the congregation. The church will not do anything unless the congregation agrees. They call it democracy. There are churches that are led by boards. And I was dealing with a particular church in Auckland. And the pastor does not lead the church. The board actually leads the church. And the pastor wanted to do something, and the board said, you can't do that. So now they're going to court to try and find out what's going on. Because the pastor wants to lead the church, but the board said, as a church, we tell you what to do. Hello? And there are many ways of having church government, and democracy is something that we are used to, because in New Zealand we vote for everything. But God so loved the world that He gave us a congregation. Oh, so... God so loved the world that He gave us a board. Hello. And many times we have a conflict because everybody wants to know their rights. And as long as you're looking for your rights, there'll always be chaos, because ultimately, if you take that to its extremity, you have a right to take your own life. You have a right to do whatever you want to do. So today, we've got to, let me say this with every ounce of sensitivity I've got. They're trying now to legislate that a pedophile has the same right as anybody else. Hello? We've got through the fact that now... if you are gay, it's your right to be married to somebody else of the same sex. Now the pedophiles are getting on board and saying, if you're giving them the right to marry whoever they want, then it must be our right to be who we are. It's the lifestyle we were born with. Hello? Well, that's what happens to human rights. Is human right? Do you have rights as a human being? Yes. But if you take that to the extreme without God, the whole thing will be demonic and chaotic. So why do you have churches that are churches, and why do you have leadership in a church? Hallelujah. Now everybody is the same as far as salvation goes. When you're saved by the same blood that a leader is saved by. But leaders are given responsibilities, and they have greater responsibilities and greater accountabilities. It doesn't make them any better. It's just that they have responsibility for others. Are you okay? Hallelujah. In a home, a father has the same rights as a kid. But if the kid runs the home, hello? Now, when you're young and you know everything, and because everybody that's young think they know everything. I think it was a very wise man. He wasn't wise, but what he said in particular was quite nice. He said, the youth is wasted on the young. Because you have a potential to change the planet, to do something powerful, but most of the time, we are just trying to find our own rights. And by the time you grow up and realize that you were wrong, your children will grow up and realize that they are right. Hello? But God has a way of teaching us, and that's the way you are. That's why you've got children, some of you, so that God can teach you that. Hello? Hallelujah. Amen. So, churches are led by leaders, and just the way God does things, and there are so many ways of governing a church, but in our particular church, we are a leadership-led church. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And many people come and they ask how, and people stay around, and then they don't like what goes on, and some of them leave, some of them decide it's a great thing, and but the Bible says God led the people of Israel, but he shepherded them and led them through the hand of Moses and Aaron. And God will not do anything unless God finds a leader. God's problem is not doing the thing. God's problem is finding somebody that will do the thing. If God wants to do something in Tomorunui, God does not turn up in Tomorunui and say, all right, I'm God. I'm here to do something. Now, God's problem is finding who to send to Tomorunui. When God finds somebody, then that person will be sent. That person becomes the catalyst where the will of God will be fulfilled. But until God finds that person, it's very difficult for God to do anything. God sits in the heavens, and the Bible says he does anything that he wants to do. So God can do whatever he wants to do. But on earth, the Bible says God will not do anything unless he reveals his will to somebody. But God finds somebody and puts the message inside of them, put the errand inside of them, put the will of God, the purpose of God, why God, what God wants to do, and put them inside of them, put that inside of them. And when they know that, then God will send us that person, and what he brings is from God. And when he reveals that, and people get through and get into it and become a part of it, then God's will is done. Hallelujah. But until God finds that person, God will not do anything on earth. Hallelujah. You say, is that in the Bible? Yeah. Now let me take you through a little bit, because we've shared it before, and some of you were not here when we shared it. When God wanted to teach faith, God did not write faith in the heavens and drop down the papers. God went over to the Ur of the Chaldees and found a man named Abraham, and then God grabbed faith out of God's eternal wisdom and put faith inside Abraham. Until faith now is no longer just a word or a concept. Faith now has become flesh. Faith now has got a name. His name is Abraham. Faith now has blood and bone and flesh. And faith becomes flesh and dwell among us. God send us faith, but he send us faith with two legs and two arms. And if you want to know what faith is, you go and find that man and say, Abraham, teach me about faith. When God wanted to teach wisdom, he didn't just write everything about wisdom and then drop down the book. God went to Israel and found the son of the king. A young boy who's given a kingdom and he did not know what to do. And the young boy cried out to God and said, God, give me wisdom. I'm just a kid. I don't know how to rule. You've got, your people are great. Can you help me? Can you give me wisdom so I can rule as a king? And God said, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. You ask for wisdom, I'll give you three things. I'll give you wisdom, I'll give you glory, I'll give you wealth. Until wisdom no longer is just a concept. It's no longer just something that you teach. Wisdom now has bones and flesh. And if you want to know wisdom, you go and find this man, and his name is Solomon. And when you connect with Solomon, Solomon will teach you wisdom. God wanted to teach suffering. He went to Uz and found a godly man, and he said to the devil, have you seen my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. And that man suffered so badly, his wife looked at him, and his friends came to see him. He was in such pain, he sat there, he could not utter a word for a week. And his friends saw him and felt for him, and they couldn't speak for a week. And when they could, they said to him, you probably have ticked God off so badly, you're suffering so much. But in all that, the Bible says, Job did not sin with his words. Hello? And if you want to know what suffering is, you go to Uz. Find Job. Talk to him. You'll come out of there understanding suffering and being better equipped to face the problems of life. God wanted to teach worship. He found a boy that was rejected by his father because... never mind. So he became the shepherd of the family. And when the prophet came to anoint the king, the father did not want to own the boy. It's the only one with a red head. The Bible says, when he wrote the book, he said, I was conceived in... Talk to me. I was conceived in sin. Why? How come he's got red head? Where was he conceived? So he was shoved out to... put away, you know, ashamed to the family. And when the prophet said, is it another boy? Said, yeah, there's one, but it doesn't matter. He said, we will not sit down to eat until he come hither. Maybe there are Davids here. Maybe there are mothers of Davids here. Maybe there are redheads here when everybody else is blonde. Hello? You get what I'm saying? Yeah. But that boy in the loneliness, in the rejection, looked up to the heavens and said, when I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. You know everyone by name, whose man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him. And he began to sing to God, and the only people, the only person that heard the worship was God and the sheep and the trees and the rocks. Nobody knew. He had no profile. He had no church. He had no conference to speak at. And he just sung to the Lord. And God looked down and said, found David, son of Jesse, man after my own heart, who will do the thing that I'm. Hello? And if you want to know worship, go to Bethlehem, Judah. Find the red-headed shepherd. Sit down in his presence, and he'll teach you what it is to worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Or you have a man like Jacob who became a nation. And God wrestled with him. And God said, what's your name? You wonder why God said to him, "What's your name?" Because the last time he presented himself to a father, he said, "Who are you?" The voice is Jacob's, but the body is Esau's. And God now wrestling with the same man, and he's asking, "Who are you? Are you Jacob or are you Esau? Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jacob. My name's Jacob. That's my name. Not very nice, but that's my name." He said, "You're a prince with God and man. Because you wrestle with man, you wrestle with God, and you have prevailed." Hello? Are you okay? God is still the same. If God wants to do something in Mangaweka, he doesn't turn up in Mangaweka. He finds somebody and he put in him a message. And then he sent him to Mangaweka. This is the problem. Most times who God sends, we don't like. We don't like the redheads. Hello? And God sends somebody and it does not even match what you're thinking about. And you say, "Well, I ask you for this, and this is what I get. I ask you for an egg, and you sent me, you gave me a serpent." And God said, "Look properly, will you?" That's what happened to Moses. God said, "What have you got?" He said, "I've got an egg." God said, "Throw it down. Let's find what your egg is like." He did not know it was a serpent's egg. So he threw it down and a serpent him. He said, "Now pick it up." "That's a serpent." "No, that's an egg. Pick it up." Many times the serpents that you think are serpents are eggs. They're fish. They're bread. What did Joshua say? "I know the land is full of giants, but they are bread." Bread. And there are many times you think it's, you look at somebody and you're like, "Yuck!" You don't know that they are bread. You don't know that they are an egg. You don't know that they are a fish. And if you would just dare pick it up, that serpent turned around and became a rod again. That man took that rod to Egypt, and the whole of Egypt were conquered by one rod. And when he came out of Egypt, they came to a Red Sea, and God said, "You hear that egg? Okay, well, put food and forth." Okay. A lot of times said, "Oh, you egg, why did you do that?" But everywhere he went, that serpent that became a rod, every time he lifted it up, "When I've been lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Many times we lift up our church, we lift up our gifting, we lift up our position. Let's lift him up, lift up Christ. Christ alone. Sufficiency alone. In Christ, we are made perfect. We are not made perfect because of something else, plus something else, plus something else. We are made perfect in Christ. You may not feel perfect, but your condition and your position are very different things. And you may feel that within your own heart. It doesn't mean that God thinks that of you. When Mephibosheth came to David, and David said, "Mephibosheth, you will sit at the king's table and eat the king's bread forever." Now the guy was crippled. You may be crippled, but when you sit at the king's table, your crippled feet are covered. You sit at the king's table with the wisest man on the planet. He's the son of the king. You sit at the king's table with the best looking guy in the planet. He was the son of the king. You sit at the table with the sons of the king. And regardless of our condition, we still sit at a position of authority in the king's table, because it's the king that perfects us, not us. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So God does that. And he will keep on doing that. Now one day God wanted to do something. He wanted to send one man that has faith, has wisdom, has power, has everything in one man. But he couldn't find a man like that. He wanted to put himself in that man. So he turned to his right side. He said, "Son, would you go?" And the son said, "I will." And the Bible says, all the fullness of God dwell in Christ bodily. All the fullness of God. God became flesh. God became a man. God became Emmanuel. Not necessarily that God is with, he is with us, but God became like you and I. Emmanuel, God with us. God became like you and me. God came and lived in 77 Surrey Road. So now, if you want to know faith, you go to Abraham, and Abraham said, go see Jesus. You want to know wisdom, you go see Solomon. Solomon said, go see Jesus. You want to know suffering, you go see Job. And Job said, go see Jesus. He was marred more than any other man alive. You want to know power, go see. You want to know wisdom, go. You want to know knowledge, go. You want to know glory. Want to know what light is? Go see him. He's the light of the world. The light shines in darkness to reveal and glory the knowledge of the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So leadership. God will not do anything without finding a leader that will do it. And even though people are shepherded, they're still shepherded by other people. God is still the great shepherd, but he shepherds Israel through the hand of Moses and Aaron. And then in Psalm 78 and verse 72, it says, what did it say? He shepherded them with the integrity of his heart, and he led them by the skill of his hand. Two things. Shepherded by the heart, led by the hand. He that has Anna, your heart. There is a connection between your service and your attitude. And you are shepherded by the integrity of the heart, but you are led by the skill. Skill. Leadership is a skill. It is a skill that you are either born with or a skill that it's possible to learn. There are taught leaders and born leaders. Most born leaders can't teach others to lead. They're so good at what they do naturally. It's very difficult. Well, how do you hit the ball? Well, you hit it this way. How? This way. Why? Because they're skilled. That's what they're born with. That's their gifting. But when you teach somebody something, and many times it's not the born ones that can teach, it's the ones that were taught themselves that were able to teach. Are you all right? Are you guys all right? Is it okay? It's so quiet, I don't know if I'm getting through. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, many times we have spoken a lot about the integrity of the heart, which we should. Everything flows out of the heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Some people guard their bank account better than they guard their hearts. Some people are hurt because they don't guard their hearts. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of the heart comes the issues of life. The issues of life don't come from Westpac. Your mortgage may come from Westpac, but if your heart's not right, you won't get a mortgage. Because it's not the mortgage that causes you to live. It's what flows out of the heart that makes you live. And you can have a house and not have a life. Live. You don't have to have a house to live. But you live out of your heart. And they are shepherded by the integrity of the heart, but guided by the skill of the hand. So when you pastor a church, there are two things you do. You shepherd and you lead. You pastor and you lead. Now, all of you love me as a pastor. Not very many of you will love me as a leader. You say, oh, we don't understand. Every now and again when I lead the church, a lot of people complain. The moment I begin to lead is the moment a lot of people will complain. And every now and again, and those of you who have been here for a little while will know, that every now and again I will stop to ask your question and answer them. I haven't done that for a little while, but I will stop and answer your questions. And most often people say, what's wrong with Pastor? Is he angry or what? No. He's just stopped shepherding and started leading. Now, I'm a good leader, but I'm a better shepherd than I'm a leader. Now, a shepherd is great. He's fatherly. He loves you, wipes the nose of your children, gives you a hug. Leaders almost don't often hug people. And when I lead and you expect me to hug you, you will leave the church because you say, well, that pastor is not loving. Why? Because when you lead, you have a job to do. And you don't have time to hug. You don't have time to shake hands. There are hand waggers in every corner. But when you have a job to do, you have to do it. Because when it comes to that kind of thing, you're not just responsible to the people, you're responsible to the one whose message is now you're going to have to fulfill. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Now, until God finds that leader, it's very difficult for anything to happen. Now, let me give you an example. They were in exile in Egypt for 400 years and they prayed for a deliverer. Now, either God is deaf or the prayer was not good enough. Now, how many know that God hears prayers? Now, how come it took God 400 years to answer the prayer? Is he unkind? So one generation die out and they're still praying. Another generation die out and they're still praying. And he said, God, when are you going to do it? Have a look at Isaiah 32. Verse 12, people shall mourn upon their breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. They eat more, nothing happens. They pray, nothing happens. Until God found Moses. Now, when Moses turned up, Moses on his own could do what no one of the 3 million could do. They may have an AGM, 3 million turn up to the AGM. We want to get out. Okay, we're going to get out. How are we going to get out? No, we don't want to get out. Yes, we want to get out. No, who's going to feed us? Where are we going to get the food? Where's the bus fare? Where's this? Let's fundraise. Let's get a hangy going. Or let's $21 for a bus fare to go out on a mystery trip. And you never get anywhere. Why? Because you fight. The crowd is good, but the crowd can't lead. It's the crowd that cried out, crucify him. You may have 3 million in the crowd. If there's no leader, The crowd can't do anything. And for 400 years, the crowd can't do it. Until one leader turned up. And when one leader turned up, the crowd followed through the Red Sea and through everything else because a leader turned up. Don't kill the leader because he doesn't look like the one you're praying for. Have you ever heard God send us somebody who's got a PhD, who's 5'7", who has got a full body of hair and white? And then he turned up, he's not 5'7", he hasn't got a PhD, he's got black hair and he's brown. Shut up, McGregor. The Messiah turned up and they didn't think he was the right one, so they killed him. And many times we ask God for somebody, whether whatever, and God send us somebody and, we thought you were the one, but you... And that's what they said, you know. Even his cousin said, go ask him, are you the one or shall we look for another? Hello? I was going to sing a song, but it's in Samoan, so I won't. Hallelujah. Are you still in Isaiah 32? Okay, let's look. Samoan song. Verse 15, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, we can do whatever we want to do, but until the Spirit turns up, but when He turns up, now what do you do while He's not there kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? I know He's always here, but what do you do when you seems like He's not there? You do whatever the Bible tells you to do, whether you feel like He's there or not. You just get up in the morning, you pray, you read the Word, you spend time with God. You don't feel God. He may be a million miles away as far as your feelings are concerned. You cry out. The rocks cry out. Nothing happens. You fast. Nothing happens. I told you a while ago, I fasted. I was asking God for a particular thing. And I fasted for 21 days. God said nothing. Then I fasted for another 21 days. And God said nothing. And I fasted for another 21 days. And God said nothing. You know what I got after 3 21-day fasts? Very, very hungry. One day, I was walking down the main road in Palmerston North, where the Regent Theater is, that road there. All the shops, and I was walking down, and it was cold, and it was just like somebody came and put a cloak around me, and I could sense it, I could almost feel it physically, and God said, that's the answer to your fast, that's the answer to your prayer. And this is what Isaiah said, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, the fruitful field is counted as a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. So while you're waiting for God to turn up, for the Spirit to be poured on from on high, you still do those things one step at a time. You still pray. You still read the Bible. You still fellowship. You still give. If your guitar comes back broken, give it away. You never stop doing what you're supposed to be doing. Until the Spirit be poured on from on high. See you later. My time's up. God bless you.